Psalm 65, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Amen. Here we have a psalm of David, one without a date and one without an occasion. But David begins by declaring that praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. David simply asserts that God must be worthy of praise, but why is this so? He says he receives vows, but why would he do that? Still yet he's a God who is said to hear prayer. Why would he do that? Well, the rest of this psalm is the answer to these questions. In verses 3 and 4, David describes both our condition before God and the remedy that God provides. Our circumstances are indeed dire. David says, "Our iniquities prevail against me." How many have felt overwhelmed by their sins? We stand in need of atonement, of forgiveness, and it is an atonement that God graciously provides. Our sins are not so small as we might like to believe they are, nor are they so large that they cannot be forgiven. God Himself provides that redemption. Now, fortunately for us, God chooses us and causes us to approach Him. If it were any other way, we would never come. We would never start the journey. There'd be no certainty of our arrival. But one end of this redemption that God provides is that we might dwell in His courts and be satisfied with the goodness of His house. We hear words reminiscent to Psalm 23. God is indeed very good. In verses 5 through 8, we see that God's deeds are awesomely done everywhere. But geographically, this psalm begins in Mount Zion, in God's temple. But David moves us to consider that God's redemption covers the whole earth. His glory will not be limited to one geographical area. In verse 5, David describes the exercise of God's providential care over the earth as awesome deeds in righteousness. Well, what are these awesome deeds? Well, whether it's creating mountains, whether it's quieting the seas, God's all-powerful hand orders life throughout the whole earth. The people who surrounded Israel, and people everywhere for that matter, often had regional or environmental deities, the god of the mountains or the god of the storms, the god of this and the god of that. David puts this kind of thinking to rest and says, this is rubbish. Jehovah alone reigns throughout the whole earth. Now these deeds that God performs are awesome deeds, and they're downright terrible at times. The seas roar, the peoples are in tumult. Men everywhere are afraid of God's care. And oftentimes men confound the Creator with the actions of the Creator. Now it is altogether wise to see God's hand in a thunderstorm, but it's altogether idolatry to believe that the thunderstorm is God. In verses 9 through 13, we see the goodness of God displayed in the caring of the earth through the seasons. David finishes this section by describing it's the river of God that replenishes the earth. The seasons come and they go. There's planting, there's harvest, and God crowns it all with goodness. In this sense, the crowning with goodness can be difficult to understand. After all, there are some pretty terrible climatic events that occur on a regular basis. And certainly they are very destructive at times. There are people who believe the earth is in a tipping point. The balance is going in favor of destruction even today. But David stands back and says, that God only acts benevolently toward his people, and he always acts wisely. These deeds are done in righteousness. It is never otherwise. Well, in closing, I think it's important to step back for just a minute and ask ourselves a question. In verse 5, David said, "By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us." Well, what was it that was asked that needed answering? What's the question? Well, the question put forth is, who is God and why should we worship him? Well, it is written elsewhere that through this God we live and we move and we have our being. Through him, all things were made. Through him, we have our redemption. Through him, our prayers are heard. Through him, we see God's goodness to us. Well, who is this God? I put to you, his name is Jesus. And he is awaiting praise. Now, this psalm opens with a tricky idea. It says that praise waits for God, or that praise is silent before God. Now, if you believe in singing psalms, and the psalms say, be silent before God, you got a bit of a problem on your hands. It's a bit tricky to interpret this accurately. But I think it's reasonable to look at some of the tension in this psalm for help. We see Mount Zion in God's temple, and we see the whole earth. We see man's great sin prevailing against him, and God's complete forgiveness. We see men who are distant, yet God drawing them near. We see the noise of the seas and the tumult of the people, and silence. There's more, but you get the idea. Men in their right mind ought to be struck dumb as they consider these awesome deeds and righteousness that God has performed, not only in covering and caring for the earth and the seasons, year in and year out, but in hearing our prayer, forgiving our sins, and drawing us close to himself. The end of this psalm says, the valleys shout for joy, and they sing. Well, if the land will declare praise, how much more should we, especially since we've seen Jesus? Let's pray.